From the crate, thanks to your friendly neighborhood record store, Southbound Records.
Troy, good morning.
Good morning.
You've got records for us. We've got to get cracking. Let's get going. Straight out of the bag. What's he got?
Straight out of the bag. You'll remember earlier this year, in fact, I think it was Records Today, we had an amazing record called Songs of Innocence by Mr. David Axelrod.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
The following year was the follow-up, and it is now reissued.
Here
Songs
he is.
Of Experience.
No shirt.
No shirt, Dave.
Oh, he's got a little miniature woman playing on a Scrabble board there. She must live on the Scrabble board, and he just goes and... Good God, I don't even want to...
I don't know about the cover. I don't know. But the music, now that's another thing.
Just that's a quick little nutshell of who David Axelrod is.
Oh, were you going to read it out of
No, I'm uncomfortable with the back cover.
There's lots of pictures of Dave without a shirt on, yeah.
What was he looking at me like that for?
No.
He's looking at me in a sort of look that suggests that face says either get your clothes off or get out.
I think it's what are you doing in my kitchen? What are you doing in my kitchen?
He's trying to the accusatory look on his face when really you should be saying, why have you got no clothes on in your kitchen?
I'm sure it's directed at you.
It is, look.
Yeah, but look,
if I turn around,
it's not like, hey, Mikey.
It is. Feels like it is. Put it back and give it a try.
Dave Axelrod was a great house producer at Capitol in the 1960s. He produced Lou Rawls and Cannonball Adderley and a bunch of other things. And then he was told, right, you're producing the Electric Prunes. Oh, by the way, the Electric Prunes aren't coming. You're doing the whole thing yourself. Okay, so he did that. Anyway, he was a fan of romantic poetry. So,
my God, Sam.
Romantic with a capital R, poetry.
Yeah.
So he did his first two albums interpreting William Blake. I'm not so familiar with William Blake.
Nor am I.
But I am familiar with both of these records, Innocence, and this one here, Experience. Let's hear some of Songs of Experience, shall we? This is how the record opens, and it's kind of what you'd expect from 60s sort of pop rock.
Yep, I'm with you.
Obviously, the Wrecking Crew are playing. Why are they called the Wrecking Crew? They never wrecked anything. They made anything
good
better.
Crew, though.
Yeah, amazing.
Main crew. I guess it was beatnik vernacular.
I guess so. Okay, so Axelrod was a composer and an arranger as well as a producer, and I don't think that there's anything he did that isn't, like, supremely accessible and quite enjoyable in any situation. What do you think of this so far?
Really nice, actually.
Okay, now this is the real smooth entry to the album. What's this one called? A Poison Tree.
The Poison Tree.
The Poison Tree, right. So did DJ Shadow sample this one? I think he did.
Where did he get a surname like Axelrod from?
I'm guessing Northern Europe. Okay, there's the other strings.
That's cool, man. Normally don't like the fiddle.
Ah. Well, weirdly enough, back in the day you would find Axelrod's
makes me
records.
Want to write a screenplay or something. Arrangement's amazing.
Thank you, Hellblade.
Yeah, wow, it's so cool.
Hit that number 11 that we were talking about. Later in the record, you get this one. It's called The Fly.
Is that the sound of it regurgitating up its food so it can eat more food?
No, I think it's flitting around, isn't it? Jumping from surface to surface. Wait for it.
Stop rubbing diseases on the food with its legs. Off its wings. Oh-ho! This is my conversation, Pat. the lights don't seem to be working. I don't know what that is.
Conversation, Pat.
lush. It's awesome.
But listen to the anchor of Carol King on bass. Carol King? Not Carol King. Carol.
Just Carol. Christmas Carol?
Carol K. K-A-Y-E. Oh!
Some nice shiny brass there too. And the arrangements are, like you're right about, his arrangements are just sensational.
Super inventive.
Just bold and just, you know, fearless. Fearless arrangements.
There you go. And like I so often use this word in from the crate, uplifting.
Uplifting!
Now again have done this super nice edition of Songs of Experience. They've taken it says here they've lacquered it directly from Axelrod's original EQ tapes. So wow. The actual master done by Dave, they've lacquered it directly and it sounds fantastic. Also there's a massive book inside here. That's
The album's called Songs of Experience, is it?
Yep. It is. And this is what David said about it, okay? You ready?
Yep.
Songs of Experience was supposed to have a different feel than Innocence. You see, music is a great outlet. And regardless of what the titles say, and as close as I wanted it to be to William Blake, what was going on in my life took precedence.
Had a miniature girl living on a Scrabble board.
Now,
can you just read the first part of that again? Because to me, that's all on the beginning of that.
Which part? Music is a great outlet.
Next bit.
And as close as I wanted it to be to William Blake. Oh no, regardless of what the titles say.
Yeah.
And as close as I wanted it to be to William Blake, what was going on in my life?
The comparison of the two.
Okay.
Where he says, Songs of Experience was supposed to have a different feel than Songs of Innocence. Really?
All right.
So just to recap, Experience has a different feel than Innocence.
Uh-huh. You're only saying it like that because you're looking at this picture of him.
Okay.
This is really an amazing record.
Yeah, it's great, man. So it's all instrumental?
Oh, yeah.
No vocals or anything?
Nope. He was a good producer when it came to doing vocals as well, though. Lou Rawls, he produced.
What year is this done?
This is 1969.
Are you serious? Well, the production's beautiful. Yeah. Dig-a-ding. Everyone gets a go, but you know, just to screw. Wow.
You'll be pleased to know Songs of Innocence, the Now Again reissue, is out again as well. We have some more copies of that. So we've got both of these.
What do you suggest? Do you just suggest the both of them? Do you see, what about for someone? I mean, I'll be quite happy to just jump straight into Experience.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. Now, the real difference between the two is I've always found that Songs of Innocence don't look like that. Songs of Innocence, it always seems to start with quite shrill violins every tune before it gets into it, and it's...
Just digging, it means to move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Both of those are available. Anyway.
Okay, good.
Moving on to a completely different kind of production. This here is a gentleman who goes by the moniker of LWW. That'd be his initials. Luke Weiland is his name. He was in a kind of a psych folk arty, you know, like a grizzly bear animal collective type thing called AU. And
what's a grizzly bear? So... Recent. Yeah. I thought you meant. No. That's another old one. I was going, did that one you talking about this grizzly? Was that a genre?
No.
Interesting genre if it was.
Put it on. CTP is the name of this one. I think we're going to have to jump past the intro because the intro is quite a lot of.
We haven't necessarily figured out if we know how to do that.
Don't you reckon? Is it not letting you?
Not the way we thought, no.
All right. So let me tell you about.
Car alarm. Let's see if I can do that there. Okay, keep going. You just keep going.
Okay, let me tell you about this record. Now, apart from the tune we're going to hear, it's all basically it's all about the interaction of one or two component sounds, and whether those component sounds be two types of drums or have you got it?
No. I'm still trying to get the ground. And
it seems to have been. Oh, now I'm getting all confused.
This will help.
LW. Okay, so
sorry, go on.
Just let it run.
Okay, we'll let it also run.
Spontaneous explorations in repetition, alternate tuning systems, and for the most part, otherworldly minimalism.
Not something you chuck on at a party.
Well, not perhaps this part of this.
Mate, see if I ever could I chuck something on, mate. Okay. So Karen, it's Karen.
Anyway, so the Leaf label have put this out. It's a limited edition of 500 on vinyl.
What do we know about Leaf as a label? Leaf comes with the logo.
Yeah, you recognise it. Leaf do a combination of like forward-looking electronics and kind of cerebral scratch your chin music. But this one here, I don't know if you've heard of a local...
Definitely the sort of thing that you put a label on: spontaneous explorations and repetition, alternate tuning systems, and for the most part. Anything that says, and for the most part.
This is actually a really, really interesting record.
It definitely looks like the sort of thing that that you would put in your collection and go, I have got that in my collection. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like sort of a... So something to be proud to own, a discovery is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, I'd say.
Not so much collectible, just a discovery, you know, like that you sort of think 8 years down the track, I'm glad I discovered that sort of thing.
I don't know, if it was in my collection, it would look like, here's some very accessible pop music.
Would it?
Yeah, I think so. It
doesn't look like a pop music album to me.
Well,
it's like a floor tile there.
On the front?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of stones. Tiles.
Okay, well, it's a bunch of stones that make up a ceiling tile, maybe.
Here we go. Okay, now.
Here we go.
This is kind of
crazy noise.
So basically what we have...
See, now I'm intrigued.
Right.
The deterrent that they put at the beginning of the song didn't work. I'm here. I'm still here.
For 4 minutes.
Yeah.
One tone. So this is all spontaneously composed or improvised.
Is it?
Yeah.
Smartasses, really?
Yep. But it's apart from the drums on one of the tunes, maybe even this one, it's all Luke Weiland.
Only Luke Weiland. I love the way with music, you get a glimpse into the inside someone's head, especially when somebody's, like you say, LWW.
It's from Oregon.
Yep. It's not really an excuse, but...
Oh.
Intriguing. Yeah, intriguing.
Oh, sure. See?
Yeah.
You thought I was pranking you when you heard that beginning,
didn't
you? No, I just
thought that it just was discordant. Once again, it makes your screenplay tentacles start wobbling, doesn't it?
What's the first line of your screenplay of this, for this?
You wake up on some long grass, and so long that you can't actually see what's above it or either side of it. You're lying down, you're wondering, hang on, what's going on?
Okay. Mine starts.
It's warm.
Mine starts just.
But it's abnormally quiet. Okay, actually can't hear a single thing, not a bug, not the wind in the grass. And then suddenly over the top. Really low flying plane. You go, shit, where am I? And that's where the movie starts.
Credits.
And then suddenly you hear a dog go, ow, 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 ow. And you think, shit, that's right, I'm running away from something, shit. And you're running through the grass, running as fast as you can, running, 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 and it's still really high, and then suddenly come out.
Running, 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 more grass. Rambling a double stretch on the run. There's another plane flying. Yeah. And then suddenly, boom, fall into a bouncy castle.
That's pretty good.
That's as far as my story goes.
3PE is the name of the album by LWW. It's on the Leaf label. We got it in store now.
That's a good listen, isn't it?
It
oh,
is.
Oh, Troy, good on you.
So, it's always a shame that it sometimes takes someone dying for people to go, actually, you know what? It? Their stuff was amazing. So,
I'd have Madonna stand up, dressed up like a birthday cake.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's what Madonna took from Aretha Franklin. That's fine. That's cool.
Which track would you like to sing?
You know what? Any track on that one is a killer.
Okay, I'm gonna play one of my, I think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written.
All right.
Mr. Baccarat.
Yeah, okay. So Aretha Franklin, of course, died last week, and you've seen everywhere all sorts of tributes in that. But basically, I think the best tribute to Aretha is just listening to any of her records, particularly the 60s records. I prefer the ones on the Atlantic label, but the ones on the Columbia label are also amazing. In the 60s, I think she did maybe 13 or 14 albums worth of stuff. We always have a good whack of them in the Aretha Franklin section at Southbound. So, what do you think, Tess?
Can't hear it yet.
No, I mean, just what do you think of Aretha?
Oh, I think she's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's wonderful, great. Eh? Wonderful. Great on the Blues Brothers.
How can you not?
I know. So. Oh, yes.
My favorite songs of all time, this.
The moment I wake up.
Oh, come on.
Before I put on my makeup.
Where's that voice come from, hey? Wow, just so beautifully.
I'm combing my hair now. And wondering what dress to wear now. I say a little prayer for you.
I'm trying to remember the first time I heard it, and I can't even remember that.
At work, I just take time, and all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you.
Shit, I love music.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's my skin just go.
This is my prayer. Answer my prayer now, answer my prayer.
And there just isn't one single millisecond of her voice in that song, which isn't just absolutely perfect.
Isn't wow. it just? It's, I mean,
wow.
it, all through the 60s, everything she did wasn't just as simple as R&B plus gospel equals Aretha. It was, yeah, just amazing.
Amazing, amazing. And there's a, I watched something the other day, I was saying, yeah, Nusandora, the opera song.
Yes, yes, yes.
Check out a version of her doing that at 73.
Wow.
Singing that in front of an orchestra. It's amazing. She hits these last notes and then just, what? Oh, that voice just sends shivers up my spine every single goddamn time. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks so much.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.